Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Care for Animals, 341 shows and counting. And this is just awesome for the animals when we're coming on this radio platform and helping them out because they don't have voices. They can't call the police. You know, they can't make police reports. So we're here for them because the animals are innocent and defenseless and voiceless and helpless. So what we got to do here is stand together and take that action. That is the key to unlock the doors for all changes to be made. And I want to welcome everybody aboard. A big shout out to Animal Advocate Alliance, Gary B. They're going to be coming out with a radio, AAA radio for the animals coming soon. And I will keep everyone informed, host to host, co-host to co-host, getting out on there and speaking out for the animals in need. So here we go, everyone. I'm bringing Diane Lineco on. She's going to be interviewing the guest also, and I'll be on air with her because I'm feeling under the weather. And I'm getting better, but I took some over-the-counter medicine. So hopefully everything is going to go great tonight. And Diane is a big animal advocate for the pit bulls, and she's awesome. Hey, Diane, how are you? Welcome aboard.
Oh,
thank you.
Hi, Debbie. I'm feeling good.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. You had your show on pit bulls, and you did wonderful on Blog Talk Radio, you know. So I'm asking you to help me out tonight, and you did, and that's wonderful. Teamwork, you know.
You know what? I really think you should have waited until the last minute to ask me. But that's all right. You know what? I don't mind. I'm going to try to help you however I can.
Oh, that's wonderful. And keep it up, you know. Because that's what it takes, right? Teamwork.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be bringing on the guest, Vice President of White Coat Waste Project. And the topic's going to be taxpayers should be forced to pay $20 billion plus or wasteful government animal experiments. New WCW investigation just exposed how NIH forces beagle puppies to do cocaine on your tax dollar, $2+ million of them. This is sad and heartbreaking. But go ahead, and I'm bringing, you know, Justin on air, okay? And Justin, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you both for having me and for all your important work advocating for animals. It's great to be here.
All right. You know, we make a great team when we all come together, you know, and help the animals in need and distress, because they need it. They deserve it, you know, free from, you know, cruelty and free from anxiety and fear. You know, that's the animals should be treated with dignity and respect, right? But, Diane, go ahead, and I'm going to give you, hand them over to you, and you feel free to ask them questions and go right ahead.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Justin.
Hey, Diane.
Hey, welcome. Glad to have you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
I imagine it's a tough job what you got going there, because this situation is, like Debbie said, it's really bad. So if you want to go ahead and get started and let us know how you get started in the WCW.
Sure. So I have been doing advocacy for animals in laboratories, advocacy to get animals out of laboratories for about the last 16 years full time. I was a graduate student at the University of Connecticut back in 2004. And when I got to campus, had never been there before, when I got to campus, I heard about a monkey lab that was there on campus. And I'd never done advocacy, but it seemed wrong to me that in the 21st century, we were still experimenting on primates. So I started to learn how to use the Freedom of Information Act, how to write a press release, how to use government databases to search for information. And we found that this laboratory was drilling holes in monkeys' heads and implanting steel coils in their eyes and giving them brain damage and all kind of other horrible abuses. And I started this, really nasty, nasty stuff. And we exposed violations of law that federal inspectors had missed. And after about a two-year campaign of us students, you know, causing trouble and getting the word out, the laboratory shut down. And what was most striking to me at that time was that the U.S. government was the one paying for the experiments. They had spent about $1.7 million on these experiments to damage monkeys' brains. And as a taxpayer, that really upset me, because that's certainly something I don't support, and I think most people don't support. So that set me on a path to do this work full time. So after I was a student activist, I actually ended up going to work for PETA for about a decade. And I was their director of laboratory investigations. So we did all manner of investigations into cruelty and abuse inside laboratories all over the world. And after I left PETA, I started at White Coat Waste Project a little over 5 years ago in 2016. And it's really been the honor of my life to be working here with such a great team. We have about 3 million members across the country who are people who are signing petitions, taking action in our campaigns, donating, doing all kinds of different work to help animals. And the reason why this is so important is because the United States government is the single largest funder of animal testing in the entire world. And in this country, two-thirds of all animal testing is funded by the federal government using our tax dollars. So even though a majority of people are opposed to this type of testing, we're still being forced to pay for it to the tune of, as Debbie stated earlier, about $20 billion, that is billion with a B, $20 billion a year is being spent on animal testing. And we have a team of researchers and digital experts and social media experts who are spending all our time day in and day out to expose what we say we use the acronym FED, because we work with the federal government: find, expose, and defund taxpayer-funded animal testing. That's our mission, and that's what we spend our time doing.
Amazing. I gotta say, I don't know. I guess I'm going to ask you a question here. Why? It is 2022. Why are we still doing these horrific things to these innocent animals?
That's a great question, and I get asked that a lot. The most cynical answer I can give you is that there's a lot of money. $20 billion is a lot of money, and there's a lot of companies that have a vested interest in keeping that going. University and college professors make a lot of money experimenting on animals. There's the companies that breed the animals, the companies that transport the animals, the companies that build the cages, the people who work in the labs. It's a whole cottage industry, animal testing. So there's a lot of money to be made. And there's a lot of people who built their careers on animal testing and don't know anything else. And if you've been doing something like this for 20 years, you're not going to stop just because some people tell you it's cruel. So unfortunately, there's a lot of what I call institutional inertia. So there's bad habits that are hard to break, and there's vested interest in keeping animal testing going, unfortunately. So that's why it happens still in 2020, even though we know right now a majority of the public, according to the Gallup organization. So independent polling shows that a majority of the public is opposed to animal testing. We know that 90% of the drugs that are tested in animals and pass animal tests fail in humans because they don't work or they're dangerous. And we know it's an incredible waste of money. So it's ineffective, it's cruel, it's wasteful, and a majority of the public opposes it. So what our job is at White Coat Waste Project is to take that public opposition and harness it and advocate for policy changes that help animals and try to, you know, chip away at the problem.
Yeah, wow. So I guess it all comes down to that almighty dollar again.
And unfortunately,
they pay.
Yeah, unfortunately, too often that's true, and it is in this case.
Yeah. I'm interested in, is there any way that we can get a list of products that test on animals? Because, you know, I look at that a lot, and it doesn't always say, and if it does, it's not real clear on it. And I know there's a list somewhere, but I haven't seen it for a while.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly. I know there's a few different organizations that can keep lists like that. I'm sure if you typed in cruelty-free cosmetics, you'd be able to find online. I know there's a couple apps that allow you to just scan products at the store, and they'll tell you if they're tested on animals or not, which are really helpful.
I know Avon is one.
What's it called?
Avon.
Avon. Oh, the company Avon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of, I'm on social media like everybody else, and I see posts from folks. And, you know, in the United States, there's virtually no cosmetics testing happening on animals anymore. There's some happening in China, where that's where the biggest problem still is and where most of the work is happening. But here in the United States, 2/3 of all the animal testing is being funded by the federal government. And it's testing that's happening inside government labs and at colleges and universities all over the country. So, for example, we just exposed this week, we had two new investigations come out. One of them was an investigation of a university in Oregon, the Oregon Health and Science University, where they're spending millions of dollars to force monkeys to eat marijuana edibles to get high and see how it affects their fertility. And this is something that taxpayers have been funding for years. We also, as Debbie pointed out at the top of the show, our big investigation this week that's been all over the news, and I've been on TV a lot talking about it, was of the National Institutes of Health, how they have been funding experiments on dogs in which the dogs are put into jackets that have catheters in them, and they have cocaine infused, injected directly into their veins for many months at a time. for cruel testing. And that's cost over $2 million to taxpayers. And those are just a couple of examples from this week of some of the waste and abuse that we see that us taxpayers are being forced to pay for. And unfortunately, unlike cosmetics companies where you can choose to buy, you know, you can buy cruelty-free, like you were just saying, that's absolutely right. You can buy from companies that don't test on animals. When it comes to this government testing, which is most of the testing that's going on, unless you're willing to go to jail, you've got to pay your taxes. So what we do is we work with members of Congress. Once we do these investigations, we work with members of Congress to introduce legislation and work on other measures that cut the funding so that this money our tax dollars are not being spent on this type of cruel animal testing. And despite a lot of bad things going on, we've exposed recently dogs having their vocal cords cut out in labs, in taxpayer-funded labs, so they can't bark and make noise, being poisoned with chemicals, being given heart attacks. These are all things that are happening to dogs right now in U.S. laboratories. There's about 60,000 dogs in labs right now. But despite all the bad stuff that's happening, there's been a lot of progress in the last few years in our campaigns to get dogs out of labs, to get cats out of labs, to get monkeys out of labs, and to cut a lot of this wasteful and cruel testing that's going on.
I've been doing this, animal advocacy thing for quite a few years now, and it just never ceases to amaze me at how much animal abuse goes on and what they do. And like you were talking about, I have seen those pictures, and they are disgusting. I mean, they're just, and I just don't see how anyone can look at one of those pictures and support that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's difficult. Well, most people don't. Usually the only people who support it are the ones doing it or the ones who have a vested interest in keeping it going. If you ask most people on the street if they support things like, if you show them a picture of a monkey with something implanted in their skull or one of these dogs in the lab with a jacket injecting cocaine into them, that's not something people want. They don't want to see it, never mind be forced to pay for it and know that, we're being forced to foot the bill for that type of stuff. But again, while there is a lot of abuse going on, I can give you a couple of stories of happy endings. A few years ago, we discovered that the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, had a laboratory with dozens of monkeys in it, and they were addicting these monkeys to nicotine, as if we don't know that smoking is bad for you. So they were addicting these monkeys to nicotine, and we were able to launch a national campaign where thousands and thousands of people were barraging the FDA with emails and phone calls. We got Dr. Jane Goodall involved. And as a result of all of that pressure, the FDA not only shut down the experiments, but they retired those monkeys to a sanctuary down in Florida. And all those monkeys got to not only live, but now they're thriving down in a place where, short of being in the wild, the next best place is in some of these sanctuaries. A few years ago, we also found that the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, was breeding kittens, and then they were flying to China and buying dog and cat meat and bringing it back to the United States and then forcing kittens to eat the cat meat in kitten cannibalism experiments. And then they were killing the cats. Yeah, really horrendous stuff that you can't even imagine someone thought of in the first place. And they killed 3,000 kittens in this experiment, and it cost us taxpayers $22 million. And this had been going on for decades. And we exposed that this was going on, launched a national campaign working with members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, to expose what was happening. And this is another example where we got the program shut down. And not only did we get this program shut down, but we got there was a few dozen cats left in the laboratory who were the breeder cats. And we got them released, and actually two of those cats now live with the president of our organization.
Oh.
So, there have been some happy endings. There's a lot of terrible stuff going on. But we are, you know, we are seeing change happen, even though it's happening more slowly than we'd like it to.
Yeah, me and Debbie try to keep track of all the good things, the positive things, to kind of keep us going and keep us motivated. So it's always great to see, you know, something, a happy ending or something good for our animals.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Definitely,
it's the only way to, it's the only way to keep motivated. You know, there's so much cruelty and horrible stuff in the world, and you can be confronted with that all the time, and it, at some point it becomes demoralizing because you feel like you can't do anything about it. But there's so many people like you and my colleagues at White Coat and people at other organizations and people at home who are spending so much time and energy to not only bring these atrocities to light, but also doing whatever they can to stop them. And, you know, that's what motivates me every day, is knowing that so many people care about this issue, and that if we do you know, harness our resources in an efficient and effective way, we can make a difference. And we're seeing that every day. I mean, the fact that virtually no companies test cosmetics on animals anymore is huge. I mean, you know, in a matter of a couple of decades, that went from a huge problem to a problem that's, you know, on its way out. And we're seeing that in other areas. You know, medical school training used to use animals to teach doctors how to do surgery and perform other procedures. That doesn't happen anymore. So there has been a lot of progress over the past couple of decades because of caring folks like you who are, you know, getting the word out and signing petitions and writing to your lawmakers and letting them know that this is something you care about and you want them to do something about it.
That is so true, Diane. You know, in order to change, you got to take action. You know, no questions asked.
That's why, you know, I appreciate Dustin so much. I mean, he's one of those go-getter action takers, and we need more of him.
And, you know, what's great is that there's many of us out there. There's millions and millions of people in this country who care about animals, who care about getting animals out of laboratories. And, you know, we have dozens of action alerts on our web pages and petitions that people can sign to make their voice heard. And I, you know, I want to let you know and your listeners know that I don't know about what other organizations do, but when our folks, when our supporters sign a petition or when our supporters sign an action alert, those messages are either being delivered directly to Congress. In many cases, the emails are being delivered directly to the inboxes on Capitol Hill. Or if you sign a petition, we then deliver those signatures to Capitol Hill to make sure that every person's voice is heard and is counted. And that's what helps motivate members of Congress to take action. It's not only, you know, seeing in the news that, there's a troubling situation happening, but it's when they're hearing from people in their congressional district, when back at home, when people in, you know, California or Arkansas or Florida or wherever they are calling their members of Congress locally and saying, I heard about these experiments on dogs and monkeys or cats or rabbits and I want it to stop, that's when they take action. So we make sure that every single voice is heard when people weigh in on our campaigns. And that's why it's so important. And we have, you know, one of our web pages right now that we're directing people to is addictedtospending.org, because this, you know, from our perspective, all of this is the government spending money in a cruel and irresponsible way. So addictedtospending.org, if people go there, there's a note, there's a letter that they can send directly to Congress about these cocaine experiments on dogs. And those messages are going right into the inboxes on Capitol Hill. And I can tell you from conversations I've been having, you know, part of my job is being a lobbyist for the organization, but from the conversations I'm having on Capitol Hill right now, people, they are getting messages and they are listening, and we are going to see action from Congress in the next few days on the cocaine experimentation issue. So it really is so important. I know sometimes people feel like they sign petitions and they don't know what happens with those signatures, but at least when you sign one of White Coat's petitions or action alerts, you know, we make sure that counts.
Okay. Can you give us the link to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's addictedtospending.org, or if anyone visits our homepage at whitecoatwaste.org, and you could also go to at whitecoatwaste at Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. That's at whitecoatwaste. We're constantly posting updates on our campaigns, as well as links to these action alerts where people can take action.
Okay. Debbie, are you still there?
Uh-oh, did we lose Debbie?
Uh-oh.
Can you hear me, Diane?
I thought maybe we lost you. I was wondering if we have any callers.
If anybody wants to call in with any comments or questions for the guest, Justin Goodman, Vice President, please, area code 310-982-4270. And press 1, you'll be in the queue, and just try to refrain from any noises in the background, radios, TVs, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board, okay? Because we got, you know, hey, teamwork there, Diane, you know, White Coat Waste Project. Yep.
I think this show's doing great. I mean, this is really informative.
Yeah, thank you. It's a great opportunity to get the word out about the work we're doing. We really appreciate it. You know, a lot of people may have seen in the news this past week, there was a truck crash in Pennsylvania, and the truck was carrying 100 monkeys. I don't know if either of you saw this story.
I did. I live in Pennsylvania.
Oh, where in Pennsylvania do you live?
What's that?
Where in Pennsylvania
I live near
are you? Pittsburgh. Okay, so you're out west. So, yeah, there was a truck carrying 100 monkeys, and it crashed. A few of them got loose. Unfortunately, they captured them and killed them. But these 100 monkeys were on the way to a laboratory, and people were so shocked and appalled, as they should be, about the whole situation, the fact that there were monkeys on a truck in the middle of the winter and that it crashed, and thankfully most of them didn't get injured in the crash. But ultimately, that's just the beginning of the nightmare for these monkeys. I think, you know, the silver lining in the situation is that people are now learning about what happens to monkeys here in the United States. There were 100 monkeys on this truck, but there's actually 100,000 monkeys in labs in the United States right now all over the country. And these monkeys, thousands of them are shipped in from foreign countries each year, and they're sent to laboratories both inside the government and at colleges and universities, where they undergo horrible, horrible experiments where we were talking about earlier, whether they're addicted to drugs like marijuana or cocaine or heroin or methamphetamines. They're given brain damage. One experiment that we exposed recently in the last couple of years that we sued the federal government for videos that we knew existed of these experiments at the National Institutes of Health. We call the lab the NIH Fear Factory. And what they were doing at this laboratory to dozens and dozens of monkeys, and they've been doing it for decades, and it's cost us $50 million, is they give monkeys brain damage in the part of their brain that controls fear, their fear responses. And then they videotape them scaring the experimenters videotape themselves scaring the monkeys with fake snakes and spiders to see what their response is after they've been given brain damage. And they videotape, you know, for hours and hours, these terrified monkeys screaming and yelling and circling in their cages because they can't escape. And just like humans, these monkeys are naturally predisposed to be afraid of snakes and spiders. You know, these are the types of experiments that these animals are destined for. So really, again, you know, that truck accident really helped raise the profile of this issue. People became very curious about what happens to monkeys in laboratories, and hopefully that'll, you know, it's even already, I know the New York Times has done a few stories about it. It's really starting to spark a national conversation, another national conversation, about what our relationship to other primates is and how we're being, how we're using and abusing them.
Wow. I guess.
Dang, we got a caller.
Area code 719.
You're live and on the air. You have any questions or comments for Justin Goodman, Vice President of White Coast Waste Project? Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. This is Ray.
Yes. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good. I'm going to try to be as nice as I can over this subject because this is one that's got my blood boiling. My biggest question is, how can we trust the government, our government, to watch big agriculture and factory farms, you know, to make sure that those animals are being treated humanely when our very own government are doing worse experiments and worse murderous things to these animals all behind closed doors? And then they get upset when the American public finds out about it, and they try to demonize us, you know, for going after them. And it just drives me nuts. The monkeys was the last one that I heard of, but the beagles. I mean, when they had the beagles up in Michigan and people were trying to get information on that, they were going after the people trying to protect those dogs. You know, you couldn't trespass, you couldn't video, you couldn't use the little drones to go over the top. People were being put in jail and stuff for trying to show what our own government is doing to animals. And thank God for the White Coat Project. I follow you guys. I love what you guys do. It's just, you know, the abuse and things that animals go through is sickening. And then when you topple it with the fact that it's our own government that are doing some of the most unspeakable things to these poor creatures, it just drives me nuts.
Absolutely.
I understand that.
Terrible. And, you know, the first question you ask is, how can we trust the government? And the answer is we can't, because they're culprits in this whole thing. You know, you mentioned factory farming, which I know is an issue a lot of people care about. I care about it as well. You know, people might not realize the U.S. government has laboratories. One of them is called the Meat Animal Research Center. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture has laboratories where they are just doing experiments on animals to make the meat and dairy industry more profitable. So they're doing experiments to grow animals faster, all kinds of grotesque things they're doing to make the production of meat and dairy more cost effective and profitable for private industry. So whether it's that issue or animal testing, where the government is funding 2/3 of all the animal testing in this country and costing us $20 billion and just flushing that money down the toilet, and all those animals' lives are wasted. The government, you know, we see the government as the problem in this scenario. And that I agree with you that how can you trust them to monitor these industries when they're so intertwined with them? And the answer is you can't.
Yeah. So what can we do? What do we do? Just keep exposing them and, you know, I mean,
well,
people need to know what we can do.
Yeah, well, the truth is that the government, while these federal agencies sometimes seem intransigent and that they don't want to change and that they're fighting back against change, the fact is that Congress can force them to change. And that's what we do is we try to harness people power. You know, we have 3 million members. Half this country opposed animal testing. That's like 150 million people. There's a lot of people in this country who care about this issue. And when they speak up, change happens. And that's why we've seen these dog labs at the Department of Veterans Affairs. We exposed in 2016 that dogs were being given heart attacks, were having, you know, invasive brain experiments done on them. And in the last 5 years, not only have we gotten the use of dogs reduced by 80% at the VA, but we've also gotten legislation signed into law that requires the Department of Veterans Affairs to phase out its use of dogs, cats, and monkeys in experiments by 2025. Now, of course, we want that to happen sooner, and we're working for that to happen sooner. But that's an example where we were able to rally regular folks like us, veterans organizations, celebrities, members of Congress to take action, and we saw some concrete change. Whether, you know, shutting down these monkey and cat and dog labs, we're getting animals a lot out alive from these government laboratories. And again, it's because people are taking action, whether, you know, they're going to whitecoatwaste.org, they're following us on social media, and when we ask them to make a phone call or send a tweet, they're doing it. And all those little things that seem like, you know, they seem small to you when you're just one individual doing that, but when there's hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people doing that same thing, we do see change happening. And it is happening more slowly than all of us would like, of course. But it is happening. And we're seeing, these drastic shifts in public opinion on these things. And we've got to translate that into policy changes. And that's my full-time job, is trying to find opportunities where we can make the changes that all of us on this call and everyone who's listening want to see.
God bless you, Justin, and thank you for everything you're doing. I follow you guys, and I sign petitions and make the calls and write the emails whenever you ask. And I
thank you.
I just want to help as much as I can and get as many people as I can to jump on the boat.
Keep sharing that stuff. All that matters, I promise you. I mean, all those petition signatures, like I was saying right before you got on the phone, I mean, we deliver all these things to Congress, and they make a difference. So keep doing it. Keep sharing it with your friends. Keep spreading the word. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do this work without you.
Thanks, Justin. Will do.
Hey, Ray, I got a question.
Sure.
Can I message you? Can I send you a request so that we can connect and, like, maybe get together on, you know, how we can get more of this stuff out and share it and everything?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
It's Ray Bittner, B-I-T-N-E-R.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime we can get the word out, you know, that's great.
Absolutely. I agree. Takes a village.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Ray, it's
right.
Strength in numbers, you know?
Strength in numbers,
right.
That's it.
Yep. The more of us, the better and the stronger we become. So that's what we got to head for, you know?
Yeah, it's an uphill battle. It's a big problem. I mean, you know, and it's not only here in the United States. One of the things we've also exposed is that the National Institutes of Health sends – well, we estimate about $100 million a year, $100 million with an M, not B. I was a little unclear there. $100 million a year to laboratories in foreign countries for animal testing. And some of these countries have no protections for animals in laboratories at all, yet they're being given U.S. tax dollars to abuse animals with no oversight, no laws protecting animals, and we don't know what the heck's going on over there. The problem, you know, it's a global problem. It's a global problem that we're facing. It's not just even here at home domestically. So, you know, while there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot to be concerned about, there's a lot of opportunity for change. And we work with everyone in Congress, Democrats, independents, Republicans, across the political spectrum. We work with folks who are representatives in Congress who have a voice, who have a vote, can make changes, and who are willing to put their name on things. You know, we have hundreds of members of Congress who are signing letters to different agencies, asking them questions and, you know, proposing reforms, who are co-sponsoring and introducing bills, who are making speeches, and using their, you know, using the platform they have to help animals in laboratories and help get animals out of laboratories. You know, we also do a lot of media, and we work with media outlets across the spectrum too, whether they're on the right, the center, or the left. This is something everyone should care about. It's not a partisan issue. You know, animal, you two know this better than anyone else. You know, animal abuse is something everyone can and should be concerned with, can be concerned with and should be concerned with and is concerned with. You know, I know folks who are diehard Republicans, diehard liberals, and one thing that we can find common ground on, even if we don't agree on much else, is that animals shouldn't be abused.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, I don't know.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, I found some information online a couple months back, and, you know, a lot of American companies say that, you know, we don't animal test here, we don't this, we don't that. But then when you look at their products, and if any of those products are made in China, all of those products have to be animal tested before they're they're allowed to be made there. So they're getting by saying we're an American company and we don't animal test here, but they're not transparent in the fact that they do animal testing in China, which is where the majority of their products are being made. So it's a lack of transparency on a lot of those companies. And, you know, unless you do some actual digging and looking for yourself, you're not going to know that that's the case.
That's absolutely right.
That's absolutely right. There isn't a lot of transparency about it, and there's a lot of corporate speak that misleads, I think, often consumers about what actually is happening when it comes to animal testing. Some companies say that we don't test on animals unless it's required by law, which means they do test on animals, or they say we don't do it here, but in some other countries it's required. But, you know, there has been a lot of progress in the last few years in terms of the regulations in China, and China is slowly, but it's happening, but they're slowly starting to modernize their regulations and consider and allow the use of these non-animal tests. You know, that's one thing we haven't talked about yet is not only is this stuff cruel and ineffective, but in 2022, there's a lot of technology out there that's way more efficient and effective than animal testing. You know, there's technology now that, you know, for cosmetics, for example, that you can test whether something will irritate your skin or your eyes in a petri dish using human cells and human skin that's ethically sourced and grown in a lab. And there's computer models. And the most high-tech thing out there right now is this area called organs on a chip. And this is when they take human cells and they can grow a miniature heart or a lung or a kidney that's the size of your thumb. And it functions like a full-grown organ. And they can model diseases in that little miniature organ. They can test drugs in that miniature organ. And there's been a lot of research where they compare the results of animal tests to the results of these tests with organs on a chip or these other technologies. And people have found time and again that the technologies, the high-tech methods, are way better at predicting what will happen in people than animal tests for obvious reasons. So,
right.
And it's also much faster to do these tests and less expensive to do these tests. The problem is that you have, like we were talking about earlier, you have so many people invested in continuing to do animal testing that even when these technologies are available, often they're not being used. And that's obviously frustrating. And the federal laws need to be updated. So one of the things we're working on right now is a piece of legislation called the ARF Act. That's AARF. That's the Alternatives to Animals for Regulatory Fairness Act, the ARF Act. And what that would do is modernize federal law so that drug companies, instead of right now, the FDA forces them to test on dogs and other animals. What this bill would do would amend federal law. It would update the federal law so that drug companies can use alternatives to animal testing like these organs on a chip, like computer models, instead of being forced by the government to test on animals. A part of the problem is that there's a lot of good technology out there. It's just not being used.
Yep. I do have a question for you, Dustin. It's kind of, you know, this stuff is just really horrific, you know, and we were talking about the pictures and everything, and I don't know about anyone else, but I know when I see those type of things, I don't sleep very well for the next week. It just plays over and over in my mind. How, you know, I mean, what you're doing is awesome, and I take my hat off to you, but how do you not get burnt out? I mean, seeing this stuff, and I'm sure you're frustrated and, you know, I can't imagine what you see.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone involved in animal advocacy got, you know, you'll see a lot of horrific stuff. I've been doing this for a long time. I think I just keep focused on making change, and that someone has to look at these images. And instead of getting so upset that I can't do anything, I think about how making sure that more people see this and finding ways to motivate people to do something about it. So I think after doing this for so long, I probably am a little bit I have a callus, you know what I mean? So I'm a little desensitized because I've seen so many of these things over the years, so many times. But it is upsetting. Every time I read about one of these things, it's upsetting. Every time I see these pictures that we get when we sue the government, or, you know, I have a colleague who has to watch dozens of hours of videos because he's our research manager. So when we get videos from the government when we sue them, and they finally send us videos, he's got to watch hours of animals being tormented in laboratories, and it's upsetting for all of us. But we know that our job is to do something about it and help other people do something about it. So that's why, you know, we got to keep in mind these victories that we have and remember that change is possible, even though it seems difficult at times. And just keep your eye on the prize, which is, you know, saving animals. And the way we do that is, you know, doing the difficult work of seeing these images and figuring out ways to help. So I know that's not helpful to everybody, but that's how I deal with it, is just trying to remember I need to see this because that's the only way we're going to make change happen, is if folks see what's going on and are motivated to make change. So that's why we're so focused, too, on giving people the tools they need to do something about it, because it's, you know, the worst thing that can happen is for people to see this type of thing and feel like there's nothing they can do, and they feel helpless, and that's the worst. So we present this information to the public, but we always give people a way to do something about it and be forward-looking and say, this is bad, but here's how we're going to stop it.
Right. Yeah. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
That's right. That's right.
I tell you, that guy review all those pictures. Oh, I'm sorry, but they couldn't pay me enough to do that. It's not for me.
Yeah, listen, I mean, some people, this isn't my, you know, my line of work. It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone.
People like you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I'm grateful for everyone who takes a minute out of their day to think about animals and do something about it, and to help stop them from being abused. I mean, I can churn out pictures of horrible stuff all day long at my organization, but unless there's people out there who care and who are willing to do something, you know, take a minute out of their day, sign a petition. It doesn't even take a minute. It takes, you know, our petitions take 30 seconds, probably even less, to sign. Unless there's people out there willing to do that, nothing's going to happen. So, one of us said earlier, it takes a village. It absolutely does take a village. But people need to know that their voice matters. It counts. People are they're being heard. We make sure that people's voices are heard. And we're making positive changes for animals. We're reducing suffering. We're saving lives. It's happening every day. And so for every bad thing that's happening that we publicize, there's, you know, we're working to stop it.
Yeah. It's always good to see those positive things. And like I said, Debbie and I, we share all the time, like, hey, you ready to do the happy dance? And, you know, and I'll send her something, and it's like, good. It's like one up animals. We really enjoy that.
That's right.
The happy dance and the victory dance.
Yeah.
Right, Dad? Yep.
Yeah,
that's all. Yeah, we don't let that pass.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah, and you know, it feels good.
Yeah. I do want to say to you, Justin Goodman, that I personally am amazed at everything that you do, and I think that, you know, you're awesome. We need more people like you, and I really appreciate what you do. And I have one of my admins wanted me. She was in the queue but got disconnected because she's having storms, Rebecca Coogan. She wanted me to tell you she appreciates everything that you're doing, and she's sorry she couldn't get through to talk to you.
I'll be back, I'm sure. Oh, thank you so much.
Definitely.
I'm sure I'll be back.
Definitely.
If Debbie will have me back on, will be another opportunity for me to talk to her.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Justin. No questions asked, you know.
appreciate
everything
that.
You're doing. You know, by bringing the negative into the positive, you know, and it can be done.
Trying.
Yep, keep it up. But
are there any Are there any recent legislation or bills coming up that we should know about?
Yes, so we are working on a bill right now called the PAW Act. That's Preventing Animal Abuse and Waste Act. And that bill would prohibit funding for painful experiments on dogs at the National Institutes of Health. The PAW Act, and I'm looking right now to see, hold on, I'm going to tell you, we might have a website set up just for that bill, and I'm going to look it up. Give me one moment. I think it might be, if it is, I will, oh, no, it's not, is it? Well, if you go to whitecoatwaste.org and you go to our Take Action page, you'll see that you can write Congress in support of the PAW Act. So there's the PAW Act, which is great legislation, bipartisan bill to end painful experiments on dogs. There's the ARF Act that I mentioned, which is another great bill. That was the one that would allow drug companies to use alternatives to animal testing. And those are the two main pieces of legislation we're working on right now federally. We also, you know, there's funding bills every year for all the different federal agencies, you know, so the NIH, which does a lot of animal testing, the FDA, the USDA, all of those agencies have to go to Congress every year and ask for money. And what we do is we work with Congress to restrict how that money can be used. So to prevent them from using tax dollars for certain experiments on monkeys or dogs or cats or whatever the case may be. But the PAW Act and the ARF Act are great, like, great pieces of legislation that deserve everyone's support.
Okay. I'll check that out. Thank you.
Yeah, make the calls. You know, that's what it takes. In order to see change,
that's right.
You have to take action, right? We can't let it go or bypass it.
Oh, I forgot another important bill. It's called the AFTER Act. This is the Animal Freedom from Testing, Experiments, and Research Act, the AFTER Act. And this is the bill that would require federal agencies to have policies in place to allow animals to be adopted out or retired when testing ends. So right now, a lot of these agencies are just killing animals, even if they're healthy, at the end of testing. So we're working on a bill that would require them to have a policy. Yeah, so this bill, the AFTER Act, it's the only piece of federal legislation out there right now that would do this. It would require these federal agencies to adopt out animals after research is finished, or require them to have policies that allow it. And if you visit, we call this bill Violet's Law, because we name it after a dog who we helped rescue from a laboratory named Violet. So if you go to violetslaw.org, you can fill out our action alert right there and send a note directly to Congress asking them to support that bill.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
And, Justin, we're down to 5 minutes here. I want to really thank you for coming on this evening. And, Diane, you did an awesome, wonderful job interviewing him. And I can't thank you enough, okay? And Ray Bittner, Mama Cat, thank you for calling in. And remember, we are strength in numbers, so we got to take that action to see any victories, okay? And next week we'll have Scott Beckstead from Animal Wellness Action. The topic is going to be wild horses. And so we're going to welcome him back. And keep it up, everyone. Keep up all the hard work you're doing, because these animals deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, you know. So keep it up. And, Justin, you keep it up, too, what all you're doing, because it's so inspiring and uplifting what you're doing. So, but anyway, everybody, thank you for tuning in this evening. And, Diane, thank you for doing a great job on this, okay? And
you're welcome. More than happy to help you.
Yeah, you did. You know, so we're going to keep it up. You know, keep the positivity coming. You know, and
I'm sorry you don't feel good.
Yeah, I know. But I'm getting better. I took some over-the-counter medication, so I should be doing okay. Yep, take it easy, right?
Yeah.
Yep, and Justin, thank you so much, okay?
Thank
Justin
you for having
Goodman,
me. It was a pleasure. Keep up the great work.
Vice President of White Coat Waste Project, and you're always welcome back, okay? And I'll be in contact with you.
I'm looking forward to next time. All right.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye,
all right,
everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a
thanks,
good
Diane.
Night.
Thanks,
Diane, thank you.
All right,
have
bye.
A good evening.
Yep.
Justin.
Did you guys hang up?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Hey, big
hugs,
Mama Cat.
Hope you're feeling better, Debbie. Big hugs back at you.
Yep, thank you so much.
Go take some NyQuil.
Yeah. over the counter.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. That's a good one. But have a good one, okay?
Okay, you too, hon. Have a good night.
Okay, love you.